we've been in a series, as in case you didn't know, called An Unhurried Life, and it has been a tremendous blessing. By the way, there's a heater behind me. If my jacket catches on fire or you see flames growing, just let me know, okay? Or just start running and I'll follow you. But we've been in this series for a while now, and we're going to be wrapping up here in the next week or two. And have you guys, has anybody read the book? I just want to check. Okay, everybody's kind of like, so I'm trusting that you've checked it out. If you haven't, I really, really encourage you to do so. And I have to tell you, the two chapters, 8 and 9, on suffering and maturity are probably, if you read nothing else in that book, read those two chapters. It's really eye-opening. And I'll tell you, if you want to know some of my heart and where I believe God's taking us as a church, get into those two chapters, and you'll see a glimpse of where I see the church going. And we'll talk about more of that in the future. But it's really just very profound. And this idea of maturity in Christ, right? Maturity in Christ. Now, maturity, I mean, how do we measure that? Let's just take it like in the natural. You know, what makes someone mature? You know, is it the way that they talk? Is it the job that they have? You know, what is it exactly? How old they are? Maybe if they can shave or not. You know, I remember, I'm not going to say which one because they're sitting over here, which son. But I remember when he was very young, my wife's razor was in the shower. And so he had seen Dad shaving. Yep. And he decided to give it a go. And, you know, he's in the bathroom, and next thing you know, he's crying and stuff. And we walk in, and he had, like, all these, like, little cuts on above his lip, and because he didn't understand, you know, going this way versus the other way. And so, but, hey, he shaved, you know, when he was probably, like, 4 or 5. So, you know, in that moment, I mean, was he a mature guy? Because he shaved. No, he wasn't. So, you know, there's things, and we can't, it's always hard to measure maturity. Sometimes with kids, sometimes even with adults, right? When somebody's acting crazy or a fool, what's our favorite thing to say to them? You know, will you just grow up, right? Will you grow up? Just grow up. Why are you goofy all the time? I'm not talking about myself, by the way, but, you know, but just grow up. And so, again, maturity, it's kind of a hard thing to how do we measure it? To take that a step further, you know, what about spiritual maturity? You know, spiritual maturity, it's kind of an anomaly. You know, we may look at like Sunday school teachers, you know, are they the mature ones, or again, a pastor, or, you know, maybe, again, is it age? You know, I've been a part of the church for 47 years, you know, and so, well, you must be mature. Is that the case, though? Is just our longevity of time, you know, like a measurement of time, a guarantee of maturity? And I think if we're honest, I think we could say it's not, right? Especially for spiritual maturity. But it is something that's challenging to define and to identify. And so today we're going to take a look at this topic, this subject of spiritual maturity. As I said earlier, hopefully you found it in Hebrews chapter 5. And really we're shooting for Hebrews chapter 6. But, of course, Hebrews 6:1 starts with a therefore, and as you all probably know, when you see therefore, you got to figure out what it's there for, right? And so we're going to back up just a few verses to chapter 5, verse 11. So beginning in chapter 5, verse 11 of Hebrews, it says, "About this we have much to say, and it is hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he is a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil." Verse 1 of chapter 6. "Therefore, let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, and of instruction about washings, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you once again for today. God, I thank you for this opportunity to share your word. Lord, I pray that what you have, Lord, to on your heart will go out today to us and that it will truly land on good soil. And God, we just trust that you are working and that your word is alive and living and it speaks to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So it's a pretty tough passage, isn't it? You know, when you read this, it's kind of this getting down to it. You know, again, it's just getting into the weeds a bit of this idea of Christian maturity. And that verse 12 of chapter 5, for though by this time you ought to be teachers. Again, he's speaking into this situation, into these people, and just saying, what is going on? You've been followers of Christ. You've been believers for so long. By this point, you should have matured. So they were not following along with this. Now, again, milk is not a bad thing, is it? When you're first born and, you know, a baby is, it's milk is an essential part of the baby's needs. And so, you know, if for new believers, if you've just come to the faith recently, it's good to be on milk, you know? And as we know, babies... Well, as far as I know, babies aren't born with teeth. And if a baby doesn't have teeth, then how in the world could it ever digest, you know, meat or chew meat up or solids, right? We typically wait for a while, then there comes a point where everybody mashing up everything. Everything's mashed, you know. I think the further we get in life, we may actually have to come back to that at some point. But which I don't know if it's a bad thing. I almost want to just put all my food in a blender and just get it out of the way. But yeah, you know, we have to do that. Why? Because they can't handle the meat yet. But at some point, if we do things right, you know, they come to the place where they're able to take in meat, to take in solid foods. And so again, this is the idea here going on. As we grow in Christ in our maturity, we should come to the place where we're weaning off of the milk and getting into the meat of the word. Now, I want to say something here. I think at times, if we're not careful, you know, when we do get into the meat of the word, that's a good thing, and that's encouraging, and that's what we're really hitting on today. But don't ever forget where you came from, and when you see a new believer or maybe somebody struggling who's new to the faith, you always need to be able to go back, right? You need to be able to slow things down and understand where they are. Be careful where we judge. We all grow differently. We all grow in our own pace. And so we just need to be careful of that. There is times when the milk of the word is really like a balm to the soul, right? And so that's not a bad thing. So we need to just make sure we watch that. In verse 13 there, it says, for everyone who lives on milk, again, the idea of being mature, is unskilled in the word of righteousness. Now again, this word unskilled implies more of a lack of practice instead of complete ignorance, right? So what we're starting to see here, and as we go on, you're going to see it more, is that we have a responsibility. Does anybody play sports in here? Does anybody watch a sport? Can we get there? Yeah, okay. Yeah, maybe back in the day, you know, everybody was a great athlete back in the day. I was too. But what'd you have to do? Did you just go out and play the game every week? You know, there's probably about three people on the planet that may be able to do that, but most people have to do what? You have to practice, right? And, you know, you watch and you study some of the athletes and the ones that really excel, the amount of time, and again, maybe some of you parents can, you know, attest to this, you know, all the practices and traveling and you got to get them to all these things. But the amount of time that goes in to see what is produced on the field is oftentimes not really understood. You know, we see something like, I could do that, or I could do this. It's not a big deal, but, I mean, hours and hours and hours and hours and hours and hours go into practicing and perfecting. And so this idea here of being unskilled in the word of righteousness, it really comes back to the person that they're not taking the time to practice. They're not taking the time to grow. There is an effort that has to go into it. I don't mean to be keep harping on my sons, but I'm going to go to my sons again. I won't look over there. Oh, I did just now. Again, I'll keep it anonymous. You only got two choices, but one of them also has this thing where they see something somebody do something, you know. They see, go to a skateboard thing, or they're on TV and they see this guy skateboarding. And that was the one thing, was skateboarding. And my son just wants to do that. He's like, I want to skateboard. He was young, maybe three or four. And he's like, I want to do that. I want to skateboard. Okay, we'll get you a skateboard. And so he had this idea that he was just going to jump on the skateboard and let it rip. Well, it ripped on him for sure in about 2 seconds. You know, he got on the skateboard went that way, he went the other way, and it was like a disaster. And so it's learning and understanding. He had a hard lesson in this, that, wow, it takes practice to do what he saw these people doing. And it's no different for us. It's no different for us. We have to put time and effort and energy into engaging the Word of God into our growth, because otherwise you're not going to stumble into it. You understand that? You will not. This is not something we just stumble into, maturity. It's something we must work at, and God helps us with that. This term mature, it can be defined, the people that are mature, as people that have powers of discernment, or in this translation, it was that are able to distinguish good from evil. Now, I want you to look around what's happening in the world today. And I don't know about you, I'm sure you would agree, but, you know, we look around, even people maybe in your family, maybe people even sitting out here, maybe people you know and love, and it's truly amazing at the polarity of where people are landing on things, isn't it? And what I'm seeing is, and to be honest too, it's a disappointment for me, because even people I really respect, and I still love them and, you know, respect them in a sense, but I'm just kind of surprised, because I see a lack of discernment and being able to distinguish good from evil. Now, don't get me wrong, it's hard at times. But what we have to do is we have to press into the Word of God. We have to ask God, show us. Because here's what's happening, church, is we are going, as we go further on, you know, on the timeline into the future, and you're seeing this, it's becoming more and more difficult to discern good from evil, isn't it? It's becoming more and more difficult even with churches. You know, I've talked about this with a few people here in the church. You know, back in the day, I always thought that there was just this, and again, there is, you know, it's like the devil bad, God good, and it's just that simple. But what we're seeing now is we see churches, or with at least with the name church above their door, but you go in and you'd be hard-pressed to find the Word of God preached in its entirety. You know, they cherry pick which scripture they're going to preach on instead of preaching the whole counsel. And so it's becoming more and more challenging to discern good from evil, because it's really evil packaged in good, isn't it? And so more than ever before, I think, in my opinion, we have to be pressing into the Word of God. We have to be, you know, digging in deep to go deeper in our walk with God for discernment of what's happening, and to discern between good and evil. Again, we used this word practice earlier, you know, and another way to say that really is to develop a habit, isn't it? A habit. A lot of times we think of habits in a bad way, and there's bad habits that we can learn, but how many here have developed a habit or had to learn a habit of, you know, waking up early in the morning? There are people, I know there's some of you are here, who are those people that love to do that? Just the morning is your thing. Raise them high so we can all make note of who you are. Yeah, so you got your morning people. Now, again, for all the other people that didn't raise their hands, you know, we try not to be judgmental when we see them. But it's, you know, who does that? But some people have to develop a habit, whether it's your job or, you know, as we saw in Scripture a few weeks ago, you know, about Jesus waking up early in the morning. You know, it's something that, I know about for you, but for me, it just doesn't come natural. And well, Pastor Dell, weren't you in the military? It's like, yeah, but I was forced to be at certain places against my will at times. But I didn't want to get in trouble, and so you have to weigh that out, and so you end up, you know, becoming a morning person. And so, yeah, but it's not natural. Habits take time to develop, don't they? And it's not easy, and you're going to fail at times. And so I just want to encourage you today, as you begin to develop and press into the Word of God, and maybe you're trying to follow kind of what we've heard in this series about slowing things down and finding those times just to be alone with God And maybe it just feels like, you know, you're praying and your prayers are hitting the ceiling and you're just kind of going through the motions. Well, I just want to encourage you today to keep going, to keep engaging in those times, because, you know, oftentimes we don't realize the growth that's happening until after we see the results, right? During the time, you know, if you're, as you're developing, whether it's, you can be working out at a gym, you don't see it. It's just painful. But on the other side of it, you can look back and like, oh, wow, you know, I didn't used to be able to lift a station wagon off the ground, and now I can. You know, it's because you put in the time and you had to develop a habit of going to the gym and putting yourself through that. And so I just want to encourage you, if that's you today, where you're struggling in your those quiet times with God, to keep persevering. Because God is faithful and it's doing more good than you'll ever know, at least on this side of eternity. Found this in one of the commentaries I was in preparation. It said this, it said, spiritual maturity comes neither from isolated events nor from a great spiritual burst. It comes from a steady application of spiritual discipline. Again, who just loves that word discipline? I mean, it brings this kind of, ugh. But we can see the benefits of it. And the part where it says, you know, it's not an isolated event or a spiritual burst, but it's a steady application. There is no sprinting in our walk with God. Notice it's called a walk, not a sprint, right? We walk with God. It's the book has used this phrase, the pace of grace. And finding that pace and understanding that God is working and walking with God. But how many times are we like a little child and just take off and want to run ahead, and then we get ourselves into trouble, and then we wonder what's going on. Like, God, where are you? Well, I'm back here walking. Where are you? But in his grace, he still loves us. It is on us to train. It is on us to develop this habit. In Hebrews 12:11, it says, for the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant. But later, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. That's good, right? It's for the moment. Discipline seems painful rather than pleasant. In 1 Timothy 4:7-8, it says, have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. Rather, train yourself. Again, this is not going to happen automatically. It says, train yourself for godliness. For while bodily training is of some value, like, there it is, folks. It's kind of painful too, huh? It's in Scripture. It is of some value for us to exercise, so just be aware of that. But for while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. Your investment now has an eternal weight. Has an eternal measure. And so it's not wasted effort, okay? It's not like when we die and go into eternity, we start at ground zero. No, once we are brought into the kingdom of God and into eternity, in eternity with him, it's the clock started, so to speak. So invest now. God is wanting to do things now in you that's going to last for eternity. And so again, not a waste of time at all. And so this week is chapter 9 is what we're covering. So if you want to take a look at that this week, I would encourage you to do that. And again, as Pastor Tony said, we do have some of these books left. I would encourage you to grab one. But chapter 9 is talking about this thought of maturity. And remember last week, does anybody remember what we talked about last week? Yeah, the great topic of suffering, right? And it's no coincidence, I believe, that the author went from the chapter on suffering to the chapter on maturity. Because there's no way that you can arrive at maturity without suffering somehow. I think at the Jason Gray concert, how many made it out Friday night, by the way? Good, yeah, a lot of you, I recognize you. And we had about half the crowd that was there was actually from everywhere else. We had some people from Indiana and everywhere, so it was great, but that night, though, I mean, one of the great things I love about his ministry and his music, and as many of you heard his stories, it's a path of suffering, isn't it? And if you remember, he said, I think it was one of his mentors or whoever said, you know, if someone hasn't suffered, then it's hard to trust that person, isn't it? He phrased it as, I don't trust somebody who hasn't suffered or gone through struggles. Have you ever met somebody like that? I've met people like that, and you just kind of wonder, like, they just think life's, bah, you know, they just kind of stumble along and just go with it. And not that I wish suffering on them, don't get me wrong. I don't want to help them with that, but it's just like, man, you don't get it. And so, you know, my wife and I, we had some friends for a while that it just seemed like they just kind of just went along with life, and it just worked out, you know, and you're sitting there. But then they hit a really hard time. And, you know, before that, they just couldn't understand what we were going through. You know, like, they couldn't relate. They couldn't, and they're kind of like, what's the deal? And these were things, it wasn't because of our decisions all the time. It was, some things were just life happening. And so then to see them go through these struggles and these trials now, it's hard for us to watch, but we're trying to encourage. But there's a growth happening in them, and it's only coming through suffering. And that leads us to maturity. And so much emphasis regarding spiritual maturity is placed on growing in knowledge and improving our behavior. And Jesus seemed to focus primarily on attitude and matters of the heart rather than like kind of what you see on the outside or what like actions, right? And this is something I think in the church where we can sometimes miss it is because we really gauge maturity by people's actions. I mean, today, are all of you mature because you came out and braved the cold weather? I mean, you all get a gold star in my book. But does that necessarily translate to maturity spiritually? Probably not. You know, probably not. So there's, again, this idea, there's more to it. And when we see and study Jesus, he really wanted to get down to the matters of the heart, didn't he? He went into and he saw, that's how he saw through the Pharisees. If anybody was spiritually mature in that time, it was the Sadducees, the Pharisees, the religious leaders of that time. They would have been kind of like, this is the icon of spiritual maturity. But Jesus said, no, there's more to it. And he saw through the facade into the heart. And that's where he does his work. One of the quotes from the book, it says, one of the barriers that hinders our growth is that we learn something and then just try to make it happen in our own lives without much reflection on the resistance such ideas can stir within us. And so oftentimes, again, we translate growing in maturity as just, well, I need to learn this new thing. I need to put this part or I need to go try this. And then oftentimes what happens is we stop or we're not able to follow through. And so then we just kind of like, well, let's go on to something else. And again, Jesus is wanting to get to the heart of the issue. And we have to recognize that where do we spend most of our time? We are in this world. We're around people that are in this world. And we're facing things of this world. And so it's not our natural instinct to just go towards Christ, to go towards growth. Jesus, in like three of the Gospels, and particularly Luke chapter 8, he talks about the parable of the sower and the seeds. Maybe I'm sure you've heard this, many of you, but he talks about some seed falling on hard ground. And what's going on here? The hard ground is just not in a place that it can receive the seed. It's not in a place that's been prepared to receive. And so it's just blown away or eaten or it's just gone. It doesn't take root. Another group of seeds falls on shallow terrain, and it departs during times of testing. And this is, again, going back to suffering, right? So, you know, we might grab something or think we've got a hold of it, but the real test comes is when suffering kicks in, doesn't it? And how many people do we see in the church when struggles come or offense comes or there's challenges that come, and the first thing they do is look for the back door? Again, visibility comes very clear on spiritual maturity when that happens. You know, it's like taking a sponge, you know, and it looks like normal on the outside. It can be clean, everything else. But when you squeeze that sponge, you find out what's really there, don't you? You know, you ever pick up that sponge like, oh, this looks good. And you squeeze it and this foreign substance comes out of it that smells absolutely horrible. That's the same thing that happens when we go through trials and struggles. We can smile and, again, praise the Lord. How you doing, brother? How you doing, sister? And we can do our, you know, Christianese thing. But the real test comes when struggle and suffering comes, doesn't it? You see very quickly the mask come off and you're going to see what's at the heart of the person. And are they truly spiritually mature? Now, it doesn't mean we don't have bad days. Don't get me wrong. But at the heart of it is their maturity. This idea of this shallow terrain, that seed didn't get planted and rooted. Another area where these seeds fell in this parable of the sower, planting seed, spreading seed, was a weed-infested field where it becomes choked out by the things of the world, where, you know, we go to a service or we go to a retreat or we have some moment with God and God reveals something in his scripture. If we're not careful to protect that, you know, we see plants and, you know, whenever the first frosts start hitting, you know, it's we have to what? Go outside and you cover your plants, right? Because it's just not ready. You want to protect them. And if we don't do something to protect these seeds that are planted as they begin to grow and take root, the world will zap them away. The things of this world can come crashing in a moment, and it's so easy just for these seeds to get trampled, these things that God is trying to do, and if we do not protect it, it'll wither and die. And finally, the fourth place, the ideal place, is fertile soil, where it's able, it's hold on to it and endure. Right? We talked again about this suffering, but fertile soil is able to hold on to it. But what happens? How do we till up fertile soil, right? It's a painful process, isn't it? It's about getting in there and kind of pulling things up and turning things. And that's why so many times people tend to come to Christ or the light bulb goes on, so to speak, during a time of trial or suffering or some catastrophic event. Why? Because things are just kind of in turmoil at that point. Things are kind of churned up, and so they're receptive to hear the word of God. So for the remainder of our time, I want to go through a list here that I came across. It's from a professor at Trinity College, but in Trinity College in Florida. I don't know if they're connected, but it's a professor by the name of Paul Fritz. And he came up with 10 steps to Christian maturity. Again, most things are 12 steps. I guess he shortcutted it a little bit and got it down to 10. So I went with that one, but it was really good, and I just want to share some of that with you. So this is the progress we should be making, right? So the first thing is he titled exposure, and he says, when the truth of the scriptures is revealed to people through teaching, preaching, films, examples, good works, conversations, healing, answers to prayer, or any means of communication, people are able to see the benefits of a mature relationship with Christ. And so again, it's just being in that environment, being exposed to that. The fact that you're here today or the fact that you're watching online today, that's exposure to hearing the word of God, and it's a good place to be, and it's a sign of Christian maturity, or that's the beginning of the path of Christian maturity. Number two is awareness. When people gain a conscious knowledge of the aspects involved with maturity in Christ, they are able to express it in their own words. Again, to understand and to begin understanding and to become aware of the aspects involved with maturity, that, okay, I need to be on a path. I need to be mindful of where I am and that I'm growing in Christ. Number three is receptivity. When someone consents to receive something, they are exhibiting an acceptance based upon its perceived worth. And so again, when we recognize, if we truly say that this is the word of God, and in many countries that are persecuted, people do not have access to a Bible. They do not have access to the scripture, and they would give anything for that. And here we have most families or most households in America probably have three or four of these things in it laying around. And so, again, to understand that we have that opportunity, and we need to engage it often and being receptive. The fourth is involvement. People seek ministry involvement when they want to experience something firsthand. Involvement implies the fact that one is willing to invest time, talents, resources, and energies into something outside of their own sphere of familiarity. So again, it's engaging. It's engaging ministry. It's engaging at the church. It's becoming a part of things, not just being an attender, but how do I get involved? How do I grow? How do I be a part of the ministry? And we have many opportunities for that, by the way, here at Long Grove Community Church, and we're happy to help you with that. But yeah, there's many places to serve. This, what you see, this doesn't just magically appear on Sunday mornings out here. You know, the tent just pops up and all the equipment. No, we got to do that. You know, there's lots of things that go into it, as Pastor Tony shared for the concert Friday night. A lot of volunteers helped make that possible. So again, getting involved in the ministry. Number five is growth. People begin to mature when they want to experience the benefits of a deeper relationship with Christ and His will for their lives. So again, growing in Christ Jesus and realizing that we need to grow and engaging that. Number six, developing. Christians who are learning to utilize their gifts and abilities can be said to have reached this stage. Where are you so far? Do you see things maybe that you can grow in or improve on? I know it was kind of convicting for me to go through this as well. Number seven, discipling. Mature believers actively take opportunities to lead, feed, and enable seekers to become disciples. And this word is really kind of falling off the radar. You know, you say discipleship, it sounds great, but not many people come up to you and say, "Hey, would you disciple me? Would you just kind of speak into my life and tell me areas where I can grow?" How many people love that? You know, and somebody just comes in, "Yeah, this is an area I see you're falling coming up short in, and you need to improve on." We've sort of lost that, haven't we? And a lot of it comes too. It's sort of the Google generation, right? And Google we trust. I mean, it's where people just go to Google. As soon as you don't know something, you used to go to a wise, either your parents or grandparents, to find out information, to learn things. Now, we just go straight to Google and whatever is said there. And so we've lost this ability for the older generation, the more seasoned generation, don't hold that against me, to be able to speak into the younger generation, because there's value there. There's value in that and experience. Discipling. Number eight is leading. A leader causes others to follow their example in words, deeds, and ideas. So is somebody following you today? Maybe if you're a parent, everybody leads somebody. Whether you're a parent or on the job or in the church, you're leading. And are people following you? Are you leading a life that's an example for somebody to follow? Number nine, multiplying. It is one thing to lead, but it is even better to produce mature believers in quantity and quality. And number 10, kind of the pinnacle, is Christ-likeness. The highest level of maturity is experienced when one becomes like Jesus in attitudes, perspectives, and actions. And again, so, you know, if we were to do a quiz today, where would you land on this scale? Or, you know, what things, where could you grow, and how are you doing? How are you doing? It's a challenging, I mean, it's a very simple question, but it's a challenging question if we answer it honestly. How are we doing? Are we pressing into Christian maturity? The Christian word, or the technical terminology, we call it sanctification, right? Sanctification. So there's justification, sanctification, and glorification. Justification is, again, when we come to Christ and we have been saved from the penalty of sin, we are justified, and that's justification. And now we are in the process of being sanctified, and we're being saved from the power of sin, and we're walking and growing in Christ, and we will not truly be complete in that and receive glorification until we are in eternity with Christ, but we are promised that there will be a day of glorification where we will be saved from the presence of sin. And that's an encouraging thought, isn't it? This process of sanctification can be compared a lot, really, to an iceberg. Icebergs are really kind of fascinating things to me. I guess unless you're on a boat, then that's probably not a great thing you want to see out there. But the iceberg, as many of you know and have seen the pictures, you know, and they use different analogies for it, but, you know, 90% of the iceberg is under the water, right? And so this process of sanctification is very similar to that, and it's interesting because as the sun shines on the iceberg, the exposed part melts, moving the lower part upward. And in the same way, we are usually aware of only a small part of our sinfulness and need, which is all we can deal with at any one time. However, as the light of God, his work in our lives changes us in the areas we know about, we become aware of new areas needing the work of God. I thought that was just a real fascinating example, because as that part that's exposed, and it's allowing it to be exposed to the sun, to the warmth, and it melts away, it brings up the next layer, right, so to speak. And that's really how it is in our life. And so God's not going to go in there and just rip everything apart. But God, he's showing you something. He's trying to work on something. And I remember, you know, some of you know my story. I'm not going to go into it all now, but there was just, I had a lot of anger and bitterness towards my mother. And it was challenging. And some people would say maybe rightfully so, you know, to feel that way at least. But I had to forgive her. And I forgave her initially, but then it took time. It took time, and it was almost like we say the onion peel, so to speak, you know, being peeled away. But it took time to get to the place, and I had to address what God was showing me by his Spirit and through his Word. And so I'd go for a while, and then something would surface, and then I have to deal with it. And then, you know, once kind of got past that, like, oh, wow, that's great. And then sure enough, something else comes up. And so I want to ask you the question today, what is God trying to deal with in your heart today? As the musicians come, I want to ask you, what is it? Because I'll tell you this, if you're struggling today, if you're feeling like, again, that place of where, man, I just can't get going. You seem so far away. A lot of times, not every time, but a lot of times through, and I've experienced this myself, it goes back to something where God has shown you something, and it may not be easy. Let me put it that way. But God has shown something in your life, in your heart, that needs to be dealt with, and you haven't dealt with that yet. Again, there's sin of commission and omission, right? There's sins that we do that we are accountable for and held accountable for, but there's things that we don't do, which is equally sin. That's sins of omission. That's not doing what God has told you to do. And so, is there something in your life that God is working on and that God is asking you to give to him? Maybe it's that person that offended you. Maybe it's a family member that did something wrong and you're just, you know, just unwilling to forgive them or let them off the hook. But the reality is that is hindering your growth. That is hindering your process and progress towards spiritual maturity. We are so quick to pick up offense, aren't we? And if we're not careful, we can hold on to it. And so again, like that image of that iceberg, and man, the sun's coming out right now and it just feels warm and good. But that's what God's doing, is God's melting away and he's going to reveal whatever that is in there. And all you have to do is surrender to that and trust him. And let him peel that away, let him melt that away. And again, there's probably gonna be something that comes up later, but we keep journeying towards our glorification in eternity, right? We keep participating in the sanctification process. And it's hard. It's hard. It's not easy at times. But Jesus, on the going to the cross and suffering and being crucified for our sins was not easy either, was it? But he did it. Because of his love for you and I, and because of his obedience to the Father. Most things that are of any value do not come easy, do they? And there's really something about it when it does happen, because you know everything that went into making that possible. A lot of times, again, people look at myself and Leanna, it's like, wow, you know, you guys are great and amazing, and thank you for those kind words, but you don't know the process or the road that we've been on. And so many times I think we see that in other people. They go, wow, you know, how did you get there? Well, there's a lot of suffering involved to get here. And so we have to be willing to engage suffering, to engage whatever it is that God is exposing in us, as ugly as it is, we have to be willing to say, God, I want to give this to you. Because he's asking for it. He's saying, give it to me. I paid for all of this with my death on the cross and the resurrection. You don't need to carry this anymore because it's only hindering you. Today is that day. Today is the day that I hope that you say in your heart today that, yes, God, I'm going to take that next step forward in my maturity, in my walk with you, and to grow in my walk with you. We're going to prepare for communion. And that's really, I mean, it comes back to that as we just touched on the death of Jesus on the cross and the tremendous sacrifice. So if you've gotten one of those, go ahead and start preparing that. If not, you can probably slip up your hand and somebody will get you one. Before we move into our communion time, I want to pray. Because the scripture says that we're supposed to prepare our hearts and check our hearts. If I can get one of those cups up here at some point, too, that'd be good. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just come before you now, Lord. I just lift up my brothers and sisters to you now here that are present but also watching online. And God, I pray just that your word has spoken to our hearts today, that you have revealed to us and in us, Lord, the area where we need to give that to you. God, perhaps we've been carrying this for years now. But God, I pray that today is the day where we surrender it to you. And as we let go of that and as that's removed from our heart, Lord God, I pray just that your spirit would just come rushing in to those places. God, that you've brought these people to this place where that surrender is the next step. And that trust, because really that's what it comes down to, is our trust in you as God. And that you are good and that you care for us and that we're willing to let go and open that up. So God, I pray just that you would do that today. And if God is speaking to you today by his Spirit, if you're feeling condemned today, that is not of God. But if you're feeling convicted, that is the Spirit of God saying to you, it's time to let go of this. And if that is you today, let it go. Just let it go. And it may be something you do today and you may be faced with it tomorrow or even just when you get out of this place, this service today. But keep letting it go. Keep coming back to say, no, I will not pick this up again. And God, I pray that you just give each person that strength, as you promise in your word, to release whatever it is they're carrying and to embrace you with their whole heart. Thank you, Lord, for this message today of becoming more mature, that we have a part to play, that you are inviting us, Lord, to grow, to become more like Jesus in every single way. And that is our hope and that is our prayer. We thank you, Lord, for your grace and your mercy and your patience as we figure that out. And we trust that you are working and moving in us. In Jesus' name, amen.